Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for the message. And I'll be preaching from the book of Galatians, the New Testament epistle of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians 3. And the title of the message today is The Hearing of Faith. The Hearing of Faith. And what that's talking about is, if you or I or any of us claim to have heard the gospel, the true gospel of God's grace in the salvation of sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ through His blood and His righteousness alone, is that what we truly heard and believe, the hearing of faith? That faith that he's talking about there is the gospel. Now, believing the gospel is the gift of God, because it's God who gives sinners ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear. And the message of the gospel is of God. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 1. He said it's the gospel of God. He said in Galatians chapter 1, I didn't receive it from men, I received it from God. In other words, the message of faith, the message of the true gospel, is a message that is a heavenly message. It is not an earthly message. It is not the product of philosophies and religions and thoughts and opinions and research done by men. It didn't come from us, because there's no way that we could have devised the plan and the way of salvation for sinners that enables God to be both a just God and a Savior. In fact, if you study the religions of man, which are all false religions now, if you study the religions of man, you see, Christianity is not a religion of man. It's revealed to men by God, but it's a heavenly message. Now, other religions claim that for themselves, but if you think about it, and if you study them, they are all, without exception, in some way, to some degree, at some stage, salvation by the works or the wills of men. Whereas the religion of God, true Christianity, the true gospel, God's way of salvation, is never a religion that's conditioned on men at any stage, to any degree, in any way. It's all conditioned on Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. Every other religion is a religion of works, and they're false. So when we talk about the hearing of faith, we're talking about the gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul had been used of God as a missionary, a pioneer missionary who went out into areas of the Gentile world where the gospel had never been preached. And Paul, a lot of times in these Gentile areas, there were Jewish synagogues, and he would go into the synagogue first and he'd preach the gospel. And then he'd preach elsewhere. And God had people there. There were some of God's chosen, elect people there. And God's raised up a church by the human instrument of the Apostle Paul. And Galatians was one of those places where God had raised up a church. And in fact, a lot of scholars believe that this area of Galatia, which is in Asia Minor, that there were several churches started. But it was common that when God began His church, His local body of believers in these areas, in these cities and towns and areas, that Jewish unbelievers who were false professors of Christianity. That is, they were Jews who claimed to be Christian, but they were not Christian because they denied Christ by trying to interject the works of the sinner into the scheme of attaining or maintaining salvation or becoming righteous. And a lot of times it took the form of the Jewish unbelievers trying to bring Gentile believers under the law of Moses, the law of circumcision, the law of works. Paul called that another gospel in Galatians 1. He said, if an angel or anybody, or if we or an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel than that which we've preached to you, let him be anathema, accursed. And what he's telling us there is this, that if you believe salvation in any way, at any stage, to any degree, is conditioned on your obedience, your law-keeping, your works, then that's a sign that you're under a curse. And we'll see that in Galatians 3. Well, the Jewish false professors were successful in drawing some of these Gentile professors of Christianity away from the true hearing of faith, the true faith in Christ, depending upon Christ for everything. He's my all in all. And so Paul writes this letter to the Galatians, showing them what's going on, exposing the error, the fatal error of the Jewish false professors, and seeking to draw those who had been led astray back to the fold. Now, you need to understand something. This is true in the New Testament throughout. Professing believers who were drawn away from Christ to apostasy, that is, falling away unto is what Paul called perdition or damnation, they were never saved to begin with. But true believers can sometimes be led astray, but they will be drawn back by the power and grace of God. And listen to what Paul says here in Galatians 3 and verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, and that's a good term, any sinner who's heard the gospel, the true gospel now, and is drawn away from it by the devices, the works of man, that's foolish. Christ is the wisdom of God. The Bible says that. If you're truly called into the kingdom of Christ, 1 Corinthians 1 said the preaching of Christ crucified is both the power of God to you and the wisdom of God. Everything else is foolish as far as a salvation and a right relationship with God. So he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That's an interesting term. It's almost like he's saying, who has put a spell on you? Now, we know that believers have many enemies. They have enemies outside. We can talk about Satan. He's an enemy of the church, an enemy of Christ. That's why we need to be aware of his devices. We can talk about the world. The world is our enemy. Christ told his disciples in John 15, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. But one of the greatest enemies that a Christian has, a true Christian, a true believer, is within him or herself. And that's what we call the flesh. Now, the flesh is not another person inside of me, you see. A lot of people who have this dichotomy, you know, of the flesh. And the Bible speaks of the flesh and the spirit. But the flesh is not a person. What is the flesh? Sometimes when the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about the human body. Christ himself had a human body. But he had no sin. He had hands and feet. He had eyes and ears and a nose, just like you and me. But he had no sin. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but yet without sin. He suffered the infirmities, the weaknesses of the flesh. He grew tired. He got hungry. He sorrowed. Those are sinless infirmities. So sometimes that's what it's talking about. Sometimes when the Bible talks about our members, use your members as instruments of righteousness and not as instruments of sin. He's talking about the human body, the appendages, the hands. Use your hand to be obedient and not to be disobedient. Use your eyes to look upon things that are good and right in God's sight, and not upon things that are unholy and those are the types of things. But sometimes the word flesh is used metaphorically or symbolically. And what is that? Well, it can be used as a metaphor for sin. What is the flesh? It's my sin. And the reason the Bible, I think, uses the metaphor of the flesh, the symbol of the flesh, is because it's through this human body that my sin within, my sinful desires, my sinful motives, my sinful thoughts, all of those, it's through the human body that sometimes that sin expresses itself. Now, Christ dealt with that. First of all, he dealt with the issue of sin in the sense of saying that it's not what goes in a person that defiles him, it's what comes out of the heart. What is the heart? It's the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience. You see, even a believer, a sinner saved by grace, still has to fight and war against sinful desires, sinful thoughts, sinful motives. They defile everything we do. And that's why we are totally dependent upon Christ for all our righteousness. That's why we are totally dependent upon Christ and His blood to wash away my sins. Not just a one-time thing, and not through the waters of baptism, the ordinance, but by His death on the cross. He put away my sin. That's why I have a surety of salvation. Because God will not charge me with sin. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So the flesh can be sin. Sometimes the flesh refers to the works of man that are aimed at attaining or maintaining salvation. And that's what it's used here in Galatians 3. He says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you? That you should not obey the truth. Now there's the truth. That's the gospel. What truth is he talking about? Look at it. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. I've preached unto you Christ and Him crucified. I've preached unto you salvation based on His blood and righteousness alone. I've preached unto you that Christ, by His obedience unto death, as the surety and the substitute of His people, God's elect, His sheep, that He fulfilled all the conditions to secure their eternal salvation. That's what He preached. That's the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is the entire merit, value, worth, quality, of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety and the substitute of His people. And Paul says, I've preached that to you. I've set that before your eyes. That's just a way of saying I've preached it to you. I've displayed that in my preaching. So he says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Now here's what I want to know about you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Now the Spirit there is the Holy Spirit. Whenever a sinner is born again from above, it is the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, who is the active agent, sovereign agent, to apply spiritual eternal life to that sinner. In other words, when we look at the plan of salvation, we see God the Father as the supreme head the sovereign judge of all things. It's God that justifies. We see Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who fulfills all the conditions, and He must have the preeminence because He is the connection between God and His people, one mediator between God and men. He's the Savior. And what He accomplished on Calvary was to establish righteousness that demands spiritual, eternal life to be given to each one for whom He died. And it's the Holy Spirit who grants that and applies that under the preaching of the gospel. So what Paul is asking here is when you received the Spirit, was it by the works of the law, the preaching of work salvation, or was it by the hearing of faith? Was it by the gospel of God's grace? All of salvation conditioned on Christ, fulfilled in Him, His blood, His righteousness alone. You see, well, Paul's asking that question to remind them that it's by the hearing of faith. It's by the gospel. It's not by the preaching of works. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's the gift of God. It's not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Works will not save you. Working hard will not save you. Decisions will not save you. It is Christ who saves. And when the Spirit gives life in the new birth, what does He do? He makes a sinner willing to come to Christ, to call on the name of the Lord. Christ said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So look at verse 3. He says, Galatians 3, he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Now that tips us off as to what the message of the false Jewish professors was. All right, you know, they would answer, yes, it was by the hearing of faith. It's not by works of the law. Well, these false Jewish professors were coming in and teaching them, well, now that you're saved by grace, now you've got to get busy and work hard to really be saved or to really be holier or to really be righteous. And that's a denial of Christ. You see, the Bible teaches that in Christ, this is Colossians 2 and verse 9, in Christ, in Him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, that is believers, are complete in Him. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "For by one offering Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." My perfection, my completeness, is not of by my works or by my obedience. My completeness, my perfection, my righteousness is in Christ. It's His righteousness imputed to me. So when He says, having begun in the Spirit, that is by looking to Christ alone, now are you made complete by your works? Let me tell you something, and I'm just trying to be very honest with you. Anyone who believes that you can be saved and then lose that salvation, that's exactly what they're saying. That you're made complete by your works. It's the same Galatian error. And it's another gospel. Now listen to me on that issue because it's so vital, so important. Believers are saved. They are kept saved. And they will enter glory in eternity by the grace of God, based on one thing, the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. False gospels will not save you. False works and will, man's will salvation will not save you. Now, it can change you. People say, well, I know I was saved under that because I was changed. False religion and false gospels can change people. They can change people in a religious way, in a moral way. Do you remember Christ over in the book of Matthew chapter 23? He showed that, talking to the Pharisees, who believed in works salvation. And in verse 15, listen to this of Matthew 23. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land," that is, you go out all over, "to make one proselyte, one convert. And when he is made, when he's changed, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself." So false religion, false gospels can change you, but they change you for the worse. Now, it may appear to the world that it changed you for the better. It can make the drunk quit drinking, the drug addict, it can get him off drugs. But if it does that, while making him think that salvation is conditioned on him, and that's what makes the difference between saved and lost, heaven and hell, instead of Christ alone, he's worse off than before, my friend. Society may be better off for a little while, but that individual is worse off. We'll go back to Galatians 3. So he says, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect, complete, righteous in the flesh? Well, the answer is no. Verse 4, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? In other words, if you can leave the true gospel, which you suffered under because of your testimony, and go back to that human false works religion, then everything you suffered under the truth was for nothing. For nothing. If that be the case, he says. Now, he hopes that's not the case. And what he does, he says in verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There's that phrase, the hearing of faith again. The miracle that he's talking about here mainly is conversion. Now, I want you to think about that. You know, most people today, under the preaching of the false gospel of universal atonement, evangelists will tell people, God loves you, Christ died for you, you make the difference. That's not the gospel. That's a false gospel. The gospel is the preaching of the righteousness of God, the justice of God fulfilled in Christ, and that He's the only way of salvation. Christ is the only way of salvation. Christ is the only way of forgiveness. Christ is the only way of being justified before God, being righteous, right with God. Christ is the only way to heaven's glory and eternal life. He's the only way. There's no other way. Now you come to Christ. So anyway, this whole idea under these false gospels, when he talks about this, you know, that the miracles. Well, being converted, being born again is a miracle of God's grace. Being born again is not the result or the product of your decision for Christ. That's what most people believe today. It's not the product of your decision for Christ. Now, if you are born again, you will decide for Christ. But don't put the cart before the horse, so to speak. You see, first, God sovereignly, by the Holy Spirit, gives life, gives you spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear, the hearing of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Those who are born again, they're not born again by their own works or their own power or their own will. If you're not born again, you don't have a will that desires to believe this gospel. If you have a desire, a will to believe this gospel, it's because God has made you willing in the day of His power. A true believer is a miracle of God's grace. But also, there were miracles performed back then. We know that. We read the New Testament. And what he's saying is here is that they didn't come under the preaching of a false gospel. Now, there are today, in the last days, there are deceptive miracles that do accompany a false gospel. You can read about that in the book of Matthew 24, Mark 13. You can read about it in 2 Thessalonians 2, the book of Revelation. Satan will be allowed by God to perform wonders that will really impress men and lead them to damnation. And that's God's judgment upon men for not seeking the truth in His Word. That's why I emphasize on this program, my friend, we've got to get back to the Bible. This is God's Word. This is the only way that I can know the way of salvation. The Holy Spirit has to make me willing to believe it, receive it, and understand it. But it's here for me. And that's what we have to do. So it's all by the hearing of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Scripture says, I quoted this earlier in Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek," or the Gentile also. "For therein," verse 17, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." That is, from the preaching of the gospel, the message of truth, to a sinner being brought by God to believe it. "For the just shall live by faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, what is the righteousness of God? Well, over in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, he summarizes it in one line. He says, "For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the perfection, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." That's the hearing of faith. That's the message of salvation. And any preacher or any professor who comes and interjects the works of man as forming any part of that righteousness is lying to you. Believe the gospel. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.